B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Eruvin Daf Pei Aleph. We're going to start from the Mishnah, five lines from the bottom of Daf Pei Omid Beis. And in this Mishnah, we're going to learn what food items can be used for Shitufim Voice or Eruvei Chatzeris. Says the Mishnah, Bakoil Ma'arvin. If one wants to make an Eruv Chatzeris, one can use Bakoil, everything. And we assume that to mean any food item. Umishtatfin, and the same applies to Shitufei Mavois. Chutz min ha-mayim umin ha-melech. Besides for water and salt that are not called food items, they don't satisfy a person, and therefore they cannot be used for an Eruv Chatzeres or Shitufei Mavois. But any other food item can. Divir Rebbe Eliezer, that was the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Yeshua Omer. Rebbe Yeshua says, Kikor Hu Eruv, that you, not only can you not use any food items, you have to use bread, and not any bread, it has to be a whole loaf of bread. Afilu mafe so vahu prusa, even if you have a huge big loaf, which is made of a saw, which is very large, but it's broken up, it's not whole, ein ma'arvin bo, you cannot use it for an Eruv. Kikor ki iser, but if you have a whole loaf, even though it's as small as a coin, the size of an iser, v'hu sholim, but it's whole, ma'arvin bo, you can use it for an eruv, obviously providing that you have enough of these small loaves to make up the minimum required amount that you need for the eruv. Says the Gemara. And the Gemara is asking a question. Tanina choda zimna. This opinion that in our Mishnah is quoted in the name of Rebbe Eliezer, that bakil ma'arvin u'mishtatfin chutz min ha'mayim v'ha'melach, is actually a Mishnah on Daf Chovov Omid Beis. And over there it already says that one can use any food item besides for salt and water for the Eruv. Why does it have to say it again over here regarding in this Mishnah here? Omar Rabba. Rabba answers, Lafuki midi Rabbi Yeshua. I may have thought that the Mishnah on Daf Chovov is primarily referring to Eruvei Tchumin, and for Eruvei Tchumin, even Rabbi Yeshua agrees that one can use any food item, one doesn't have to use specially bread. And I may have thought that over here, since we're talking, amongst others, we're also talking about Eruvei Chatzeris, and over here we may have thought that for Eruvei Chatzeris, everybody will agree, even Rebbe Eliezer will agree to Rebbe Yeshua, that you can use, that you have to use bread. And so, Lafukim and Rebbe Yeshua, in order to tell us that here, regarding Eruvei Chatzeris, Rebbe Eliezer says that even though it's Eruvei Chatzeris, nonetheless you can use any food items, that's why it's repeated again here. Lafukim et Rebbe Yeshua de Omar kikor in midyachrin eloi. To come to the exclusion of Rebbe Yeshua's opinion, Rebbe Yeshua says it has to be made with bread, with a whole loaf and nothing else. That's why Kumash Malon, the Mishnah, has to tell us, Bakoil, that Rebbe Eliezer holds that you can use any food items, even for an Eruvei Chatzeris. Asks Oisvi Abai. Abai is now going to ask a question on Rabba. You're assuming that the word bakil in the Mishnah, bakil ma'arvin u'mashtatvin, means any food items, and then you had to explain that according to Rabbi Eliezer, he's arguing with Rabbi Yeshua, who says you have to use bread. I'm about to prove to you that the word bakil in the Mishnah could actually mean not that you can use any food item. Bakil, at least regarding the Ma'arvin part, the Eruvei Chatzeris part, the Mishtatfin part, everyone agrees you don't have to use bread. The Ritva discusses how to break up the Mishnah. But regarding the Chatzeris part, we're about to learn that Bakil could mean bread. And that's the same as Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says you have to use bread. Bakil Ma'arvin means any type of bread. And then the question will come back, how are we going to read our Mishnah? Eisve Abaya. Abaya is going to ask from a Braisa. It says in the Braisa, Bakil Ma'arvin. And we're about to see that the word Bakil Ma'arvin means with any types of bread. Eruvei Chatzeris. Ubakil Mishtatfin Shitufei Mavois. And one's allowed to use any food item for Shitufei Mavois. Vele Omru La'ariv Bepas. When did we say that you have to use bread? Elo Bechotzer Bilvad. Regarding Eruvei Chatzeris, there you have to use bread. You can use any bread. But for other things, Shitufei Mavois, you do not even need to use bread, you can use any food item you want. That was the Braisa. And now the Gemara is going to explain. And the real truth is, and the Tosafos HaRosh and Tosafos Rabbeinu Peretz say it in this many words, that if you just read the Braisa, there would be a seeming contradiction. It says that v'le'omru l'ariv b'pas elo b'chotzer b'rilvad, saying clearly that for eruvei chatzeris you must use bread. But the opening words of the Braisa are, Bakil ma'arvin eruvei chatzeris, you can use anything for eruvei chatzeris. In order not to have a contradiction within the Braisa, the Bakil ma'arvin eruvei chatzeris must mean not any food items, but any type of bread. And that's going to be the question of Abaya, that the words Bakil ma'arvin in our Mishnah could also mean any type of bread, and then you cannot deduce from our Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer actually argues with the Rabbi Yeshua, that Rabbi Yeshua says you have to use bread. Rabbi Eliezer says that, and we thought that Rabbi Eliezer held you do not need to use bread, as we saw before, lafuke mid Rabbi Yeshua. No, maybe it's not lafuke mid Rabbi Yeshua, regarding which food items. So the Gemara is going to say it a little bit differently to the way I explained it, and the Rishonim ask why the Gemara says it like this, but this is what the Gemara means. Man shomas le de omar pas in midi achrin eloi. The closing words of the Braisa, that that regarding Eruv Bechatzeris you must use bread. Who's that opinion? Rabbi Yeshua. It's the explicit words of Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah. And nonetheless, Uktoni, it says at the beginning of the Braisa, Bakil, that you can use Bakil anything, it must mean any types of bread. So the term Bakil Ma'arvin could mean any types of bread, and it's not Lafuke Rabbi Yeshua, it's not to the exclusion of Rabbi Yeshua. So how could you, Rabbi, say Lafuke Mid Rabbi Yeshua, that the words Bakil Ma'arvin are to exclude Rabbi Yeshua's opinion? Who says they exclude Rabbi Yeshua's opinion? Elo Omar Rabbi Bar Bar Chona. Rabbi Bar Bar Chona says you have to explain like this. Of course, Rabbi Eliezer is excluding Rabbi Yeshua because it's a machlokes. First, the Mishnah mentions Divi Rabbi Eliezer, and then it says Rabbi Yeshua. So they must be arguing about something. Rabbi Yeshua said it has to be not only bread, it has to be whole loaves. Bakil Ma'arvin, according to the way we're learning now, Rabbi Eliezer could hold. Bakil Ma'arvin means he might agree to Rabbi Yeshua. Eruvei chatzeris, you have to use bread, but you doesn't need to be whole loaves. It can be any bread, any types of bread, any shapes and sizes, even if it's not whole. And that's the aspect of Rabbi Yeshua that he's arguing with. That means the words Bakil Ma'arvin indeed do not have to mean that you can use any food items, but they certainly mean that it doesn't have to be whole. And that's what he's going to say. Lafuke mid Rabbi Yeshua, which part of Rabbi Yeshua is Rabbi Eliezer coming to exclude? De omar shleimo in prusoloi. The part that Rabbi Yeshua says that the bread has to be whole, that Rabbi Eliezer says, kumash malon bakil, that Rabbi Eliezer says that it can be any type of bread, even if it's not whole. Continues the Gemara. Upruso mai tamaloi. Why indeed, according to Rabbi Yeshua, can you only make eruvei chatzeris with a whole loaf? Why can't you use half a loaf, as long as it's enough bread, based on the measurements we spoke about in the previous Gemara, then if you have enough bread, then what's the difference if it's whole or not whole? Omer Rabbi Yosi ben Shaul, Omer Rabbi Mishum Eva. And the Rosh here brings the Yerushalmi, that the reason you make an Eruv is in order to increase peace, to increase harmony, that people can be connected to each other and carry from one rishus to the other, in order to make sholim. If one person is going to contribute to the eruv a whole loaf, and others will contribute only part of a loaf, there's going to be eva, there's going to be maybe hatred or jealousy or arguments. And the Rishonim here explained that it could mean that the person who's giving a whole loaf, he'll be very particular to say, I'm not prepared to let anybody else eat my contribution. And we saw in a Gemara previously, if somebody's makbid on his Eruv, if somebody does not allow any of the participants with the Eruv to eat their portion of the bread, the Eruv is invalid. And since it can cause this machlokas and possibly invalidate the Eruv, therefore, the Chachomim said, everybody should bring whole loaves, and then there will not be machlokas. And obviously the difference between a larger whole loaf and a smaller whole loaf is less machlokas, less eva, than a whole loaf and a half a loaf. Omer l'irbacha b'reidarova l'irvashi, irvoy kulon b'prusos mahu. So I can understand that if part of the people contributing to the Eruv give whole loaves, and part give half loaves, or pieces, I can understand there will be hatred, there could be machlokas and jealousy, and we don't want that. If everybody is giving just parts of a loaf, then it's as good as everybody giving whole loaves. Is that okay? Omer le, So Ravashi answered back, Shema Yachzor Dovo Lekel Kuloi. You're right that theoretically it should be okay. However, we're afraid that at some point in time, somebody's going to bring a whole loaf. And then again, we're going to have an issue. And therefore, the Chachomim said, according to Rabbi Yeshua says that you always can only ever make an Eruvei Chatzeros with whole loaves. Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul, Nitlo Heimeno Kedei Chaloso. We know that when you make a dough, if it's large enough, you have to separate part of it for challah. And it's got the same halachas as truma, and the time of the Beis HaMikdash it was given to the Kohen, and that's called taking away challah. So what happens if you have a big loaf of bread, and you didn't take challah when it was still a dough, you took off kedei challah, so you had to take off some challah. The question is, if the fact that all you took off is challah, and when taking off challah, you haven't destroyed the challah by cutting it up, by breaking it up. You've actually fixed the challah, because before then you're not allowed to eat it, and now you're allowed to eat it. So that was the question here. Nitlo imenu chaloso. Or kedei, it's not a question, it's a statement. Rabbi Yochanan says that if nitlo imenu, kedei chaloso, if all you separated from the bread was the amount that you need to separate for challah, or kedei dimu'a, dimu'a is a mixture. If you had one portion of the dough, one portion of dough of truma that fell into 100 portions of chulin, then it becomes bottle, and you're allowed to use that bread and use it as if it wasn't truma. However, one portion, which Rashi says 1 out of 100, you have to separate from this dough and give that to the kohen, so to speak, as if you knew that that was the truma bit. Really, if it falls into 1 into 100, it's bottle. And it does not have the status of truma. So if somebody, because the halacha is you have to separate a 100th of this bread and give it to the kohen, and before then you're not allowed to eat it. So if you separate it from this loaf, this 100th of the bread, to give to the kohen, then again you fix the bread, because only after you separated it you can actually eat the bread. Then it's not called that you've broken the bread, you've fixed the bread. Ma'arvin leibo, and you're allowed to use such a bread, even though it's not completely whole, you can use it for Eruvei Chatzeris, even according to Rabbi Yeshua. Asks the Gemara, V'otanya kedei dimua ma'arvin bo. We learnt in the Braisa that if you take off 100th, then indeed it's still considered as if it was whole, and you can use it for Eruvei Chatzeris, according to Rabbi Yeshua. But kedei chaloso, if you remove the amount you need to take off for challah, that's too much you've taken off the bread to still be considered whole, and you cannot use it as an Eruv. So how can Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul say that even if you took off as much as you need for challah, it's still considered whole? Says the Gemara Lo Yikashya, there's two different types of challah. Depends who you are as to how much challah you have to take off. When it says ma'arvin, which means only a little bit of dough was taken off, that is talking about b'chalas nachtim, the bread of a baker. And a baker only needs to take off a 48th of the dough. And that little bit, if you take it off, it's still considered whole, and you can use it for Eruvei Chatzeris. Ha b'chalas balabais. However, when it says in the Braisa that kedei chaloso ein ma'arvin bo, because too much has been taken away, that's referring to a balabais, a regular homeowner. And the amount of challah he has to take is 1 of 24, which is double than chalas nachtoim, a baker's bread, which you only have to take off 1 of 48. If you have to take off that much, which is 1 of 24, that's too much, and the bread is no longer considered whole. Ditnan, we learnt in the Mishnah, shi'ur challah, how much challah do you have to separate from a dough before you can eat the rest of the dough? Echod me'esrim v'arba, a 24th of the dough. Ha'oisa isa la'atzmoy, ve'isa le'mishta b'noy, echod me'esrim v'arba. It's true that if you're making a dough for yourself, or you're making it for the chasna of your son, but you're using it for your own purpose, you're not selling it, then it's 1 of 24. Nachtim, however, a baker, shehu oisa limkar b'shuk, he's making breads in order to sell it in the market, v'chein ho'isha she'asto limkar b'shuk, or even if it's a woman in her home, it doesn't matter where you're baking the bread, it depends why you're baking it. If she's doing it in order to sell the loaves in the market, echod mi'arboim u'shmoina, then you only have to separate a 1/48 of the dough. And that's how we answered the question, that if 1/48 was taken off in the event that it was a bread of a nachtoim, of a baker, then you can still use it for the Eruv, but if a 24th was taken away, then you cannot use it for the Eruv. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Chizda, Tofra Bekesam. If you had a loaf of bread, it was cut into pieces, but somehow you connected all these pieces using a splinter. You put a splinter through the bread, and you, so to speak, connected all the pieces, and now it looks like a whole loaf. Do we say that it has the status of a whole loaf, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, you can use it for Eruvei Chatzeres, or not? So Rav Chisda says, Tofra Bekesam Ma'arvin Leibo, you can use it for the Eruv. Asks the Gemara, about Tanya Ein Ma'arvin Leibo. We learned in a Braisa that once the bread is cut up, it's no longer considered whole, even if you connect the pieces with a splinter. Says the Gemara, Leikasha. Ha Diyadiyah Tifra. When it says that in the Braisa you cannot use such a bread, that's when the point where the pieces are connected are recognized. You can tell. If it's clearly evident that it's been cut up and it's just been stuck together with splinter, then you cannot use it for the Eruv. And when Rav Chisda said that by connecting it with a splinter you can use it for the Eruv Echateres, is if you cannot tell, it's not recognizable that the pieces are actually cut up and just held together. Continues the Gemara. Omer Abzeira Mashmuel, Ma'arvin Bepas Oiras, you can use bread made of rice, or Bepas Doichen, which we may translate as millet, and you can use that for an Eruv. Omer Mar Ukva, Ledidi Mefar Sheli Minei De Mar Shmuel, Mar Ukva argues with Abzeira and says, I heard from Shmuel not like you said. You, Abzeira, heard from Shmuel that you can use Oiras or Doichen. I, Mar Ukva, heard from Shmuel that pas oiras ma'arvin, the bread of rice indeed you can use for the Eruv, but pas doichan ain ma'arvin. But if the bread is made of doichan, then you cannot use it for the Eruv. It's not considered bread. Omer b'chia barovin, Omer Rav, it was said in the name of Rav, ma'arvin b'pas adoshim, bread made of lentils, with lentils, you can use for an Eruv. It's considered bread. Asks the Gemara, Eini, how can that be? V'ho hahi d'havoi b'shnei d'mar Shmuel. There was this bread in the days of Mar Shmuel, which was made of adoshim, with lentils. V'shadyu l'kalbei. Not only did a person not eat it, he threw it to his dogs, v'lo yochol, and even the dogs wouldn't eat it. So it's not considered a food item. Of course, it's not considered bread. So how can you, Rav, say that ma'arvin b'pas adoshim, in the times of Shmuel, of Mar Shmuel, this bread was considered totally inedible. Answers the Gemara, Hahi, that bread that Mar Shmuel threw to the dogs, and even they wouldn't eat it, is referring to Deshar Minim. Besides for having lentils in, it had other species in it as well, and that mixture, that concoction of species, rendered it totally inedible. How would Deshar Minim have yet? Dechsiv. And if you look in the Pasuk in Yecheskel, you'll see that there's a type of bread that has lentils in, but because it has lots of other ingredients with it as well, it's considered as inedible, or at least not very edible. Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, V'ato kach lecho, this is a punishment that Hashem is telling Yecheskel about, that there's going to be a hunger, and bread and food is not going to be easily available. Kach lecho, you're going to take chitin, which is a wheat, v'soirin, and barley, v'pul, and beans, v'adoshim, and lentils, v'doichan, and millet, as we saw, v'kusmin, and spelt, v'goymer. And the pasuk continues, v'nasa to'oysom b'kli echod, you're going to mix them together in a single utensil, v'sisa oysom l'cho l'lechem mispar ayom imash ha'tashoychi v'al tzidcho, shloish mois tishim v'tishim yoyim teichlenu, you're going to eat it for 390 days, and you're going to eat it for many days, and that's because of the hunger. So you see that when the pasuk describes a bread which is not regularly eaten, and Rashi actually brings the pasuk there that says lechem anoshim lo yisoichal, that it is bread which is not normally edible or eaten by people, and you see there that it's got lentils in, but it's got lots of other ingredients. So that's the bread that in the days of Mar Shmuel was considered inedible. But if it's only a bread of lentils, it could be, like Rav said, that it's considered bread and you can use it for an Eruv. Rav Papa Omar. Rav Papa gives another explanation why, even though Rav said that bread made of lentils is considered bread, it's not a contradiction to the bread in the days of Mar Shmuel that was not even edible to the dogs. Omar, he said, Hahu, that bread that was not even edible to the dogs, tsluya, it was roasted, b'tzeyasa odom, on coals that were made of human excrement, and therefore it was not edible, but not because it had lentils in it. Hahi d'tsluya b'tzeyas odom havoi, d'chsiv, and where do we see of such a concept? D'chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, and a couple of Pesukim later in Yecheskel, that it says v'ugas sa'irim teichleno, that this bread is which is considered ugas sa'irim, a cake, a bread of barley, and the Gemara is soon going to say why it's attributed to the barley. Ugas sa'irim teichleno v'hi begelele tzeyas odom, and that's what the part of the pasuk that the Gemara brings. Teugeno, it's going to be baked. Teugeno le'inem, it's going to be baked in front of them. Where? In Galilei Tseas Odom, which is the human excrement. Asks the Gemara, Mai v'ugas so'irim teichleno. The first words of that pasuk associates or attributes this bread to the so'irim, to the barley. Why is it barley? It's got lots of other ingredients in, as we saw. Omer of Chizda said, l'shi'urim, that what the pasuk means to allude, to hint to us, is that when they ate it with measurements. It wasn't like regular bread that you just ate until you were satisfied. Here, because there was a hunger, they just took a very small measurement, and that's what they ate at a time. Rav Papa says, even though it had other ingredients, but it was very maguna, it was a derogatory type of bread whose shape was not shaped. Normal bread, a significant bread, which is made of wheat, is nicely formed, nicely shaped. However, the bread of so'irim, which is hardly edible, and not normally eaten by human beings, its shape is not very presentable. So he says, Arivaso, the shape of this bread is ka'arivas oirim v'loi ka'arivas chitim. Its shape is not nice, it's not cut round and nice like one would a bread of wheat. It's just going to be like a bread of so'irim, which is not very good bread, and that's what the pasuk there is talking about. Says the next Mishnah, Noisein odom mo'o lechenveni v'lenachtoim, a person can give a coin called a mo'o to a grocer, to somebody who sells wine, for example, or lenachtoim, or a baker, someone who sells bread, k'dei sheyizke lo eiruv, in order that, and this we're assuming that this baker or this grocer lives with him in the mavui, Rashi says, and he goes to this grocer or baker and says that in the event that our other neighbors come to you wanting to purchase from you some wine or some bread for the sake of the Eruv, here's some money, I want to buy a share in the wine or the bread that's going to be part of the Eruv, I want to be part of it, I need to be part of it. So he's more or less giving the money so that the money should enact a sale. Here I'm paying for it, and with the money I've bought some wine or some bread. Then Kadesh is Kale Eruv, then Divir Rebeliezer says that Noisin Odom, he can do that, and that the transaction is valid. The Chachomim argue and say, Loi Zochu Loi Moi Oisov. We're going to see later why. But according to the Chachomim, giving somebody cash, giving somebody money to buy something, does not enact a valid kinyan. He hasn't acquired the object that he wanted to buy with it. By virtue of just giving money, it's not enough. You want to actually acquire it, it should become yours from this point on. Then you have to be moishach, you have to either lift it or take it to yourself or do another valid kinyan. And this is not where we're going to be discussing at length. The kinyanim, these are sugyas later on in Shas. The Chachomim hold that this coin that was given to the grocer or the baker does not in and of its own enact a kinyan. So when he gave the money, the wine or the bread did not become his, but the coin remained in the hands of the baker and the grocer. What happened then? When the other neighbors came to make the Eruv, to buy the wine and bread and actually take it and put it into one of the chatzeris and make the Eruv, he said, you know what? This neighbor here, he gave some money, and can you please be kohen, can you be zoicha, can you have intention to acquire a part in this wine or bread on his for him as well? And since this person who came in, he didn't give the money in order that you should then be able to ask somebody else to do a zechia, to acquire some food for him. That's not why I gave you my coin. I gave you my coin in order to purchase wine or bread. And since, according to the Chachomim, the purchasing was not valid, therefore, if you then use my coin to ask somebody else to do a zechiah, it's as if you're using my money to join me in the Eruv without my knowledge and without my consent. And we've already seen before that you cannot make an Eruv without consent, without the knowledge of the person who's doing it. However, anybody who's not a grocer or a baker, and if this neighbor comes to somebody else and says, here's some money, and can you please make sure I'm part of the Eruv, in that case, since they don't actually sell wine or bread, then we assume he didn't mean, here, I'm paying for wine or bread. No, here's a coin, and make sure that whenever you make the Eruv, that I'm part of it. So to speak, with the coin, he's making them an agent, a shliach, to be zeicha for him in whatever wine or bread or any other food item that they're going to use. Then it's okay, because he didn't try to purchase with the money. So in that case, and in the event that it's not Shar Kol Odom, if it's in the event that it's a grocer or a baker, that the Chachomim said that this money does not make a kinyan, and therefore, even if afterwards somebody did a zechia, it's as if you're using the coin without his knowledge and consent. This is the rule we've discussed previously, that a person is only going to join an Eruv if he's knowledgeable about it and has consented. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda, Bamed Dvarim Amurim, in what case is this true, that a person is only going to join an Eruv if he's knowledgeable and consents? That's only Be'eruvei Tchumin, not if you're trying to join him into Eruvei Chatzeiros or Shitufei Mavois, but you want to make an Eruv Tchumin for him, then we need an explicit consent from him. Because by making a tchum on one side of the town on behalf of this person, you are restricting him from being able to walk on the other side of town. Since what you're doing on his behalf, so to speak, could be a restriction, a liability for him, then we'll say you can't do it without his consent. However, any other Eruv, another Eruv which is not a choiv for him, it's only a zchus, he only has what to gain from it, and therefore, even if he doesn't know, then he can join the Eruv. In which, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, this whole halacha here in this Mishnah of Eruv is talking about Eruv Tchumin. But medvarim amurim, when is it correct that Ein ma'arvin l'adam elo midaitoi be'eruvi tchumin, aval be'eruvi chatzeres ma'arvin l'daitoi v'shaloi l'daitoi. Regular eruvi chatzeres, you do not need his consent. Why? L'fisha zochin l'adam shaloi b'fonov. By joining him in the eruv, you only have what to gain. He can now carry in the eruv, everybody can carry, but he can now carry in the eruv in the chotza. And why should he not consent? And therefore, even if he doesn't know, we assume that he's happy with what you're doing on his behalf. But if it's not a zuchus, if it might be a choy for him, a liability for him, as in the case of Eruv Tchumin, that making an Eruv for him is restricting him from walking in the other direction, then you cannot do that without his knowledge and consent. And you'll all remember that we learned previously in the previous Gemara in this Perek that this is actually going to be a discussion whether when Rabbi Yehuda said Bamed Dvarim Amurim, how does that affect the way we understand the Tanakama? Is Rabbi Yehuda just explaining the Tanakama, or is he arguing with the Tanakama? And in and of this Mishnah on its own right, we do not have proof to this, but we're going to have proof from a previous Mishnah that the Tanakama actually argued with Rabbi Yehuda, and even with Eruvei Chatzeres, you need his Das. And on that, Rabbi Yehuda argues, and we're going to see more on this towards the end of the Amud. Says the Gemara, "My tam de Rebbe Eliezer." We saw in the Mishnah that according to Rebbe Eliezer, "Noisin odamo lechen v'nil nachdim kadeshi is kolayiruv." A person can give a coin to a baker, to a grocer, and the coin will actually suffice. And he's bought the wine or the bread with this money, and he's part of the eruv. Holoi moshach. Do we not know that you cannot acquire something by virtue of just paying for it? We'll soon see why. You actually have to do a meshicha, you have to draw it towards yourself, you have to take the item. Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Bar Avo, Asoi Rebbe Eliezer, Kedalet Prokim Bashono. And just before we learn the Gemara, just so we shouldn't get confused, the way it works is as follows. Rabbi Yochanan said, and the Gemara is going to quote it soon, that mina teira, of course you can pay with cash, you can pay with money, and then you're koina, because you're paying with the money. And that is a regular way of acquiring an item, mina teira. However, the Chachomim, for reasons we're going to see later, the Chachomim said, we do not want people to rely on kinyan kesef, on acquiring by virtue of paying money, because we want the object to remain under the responsibility of the seller all the while that the buyer hasn't taken it. And since just paying for it without taking the goods, then you've paid the money to the seller, but the item still is in the entities in the rishus of the seller, and there we do not want the money, we do not want the item to be in the rishus of the seller without the seller having responsibility. The only way we did that was the Chachomim said that it's as if the money's not being paid. The difference will be if something goes wrong with the item, it's the seller that will have to bear responsibility, not the buyer. However, since Minatera, if you buy something with money, the kinyan is valid. If so, the Chachomim allowed themselves, under certain circumstances, to move aside the midrabonon, to move aside this that the Chachomim said, we're not relying on kinyan mois, on acquiring with money, and on some occasions we allow you to acquire with money, just paying for it is already considered a valid kinyan, even according to the rabonon. When was that? So there's something called Dalet Prokim, which is four times in the year. There may have been a fifth, and this is a Gemara in Chulin Daf Pei Gimel. What happens if a person's got a huge big cow, which is worth 1,000 dinar, and a person comes, an innocent person, says, I have 1 dinar, can I please buy some meat? Does the sheikhet, the owner of the cow, have to now shecht this cow just because somebody wants 1,000th of this cow? Of course not. However, 4 times a year, the Chachomim said, you have to shecht for him. He's going to pay you 1 dinar. You have to shecht the whole cow, even though, I mean, obviously you shecht the whole cow, but you have to shecht the cow, even though it's so much more than what he wants, in order to deliver the 1 dinar's worth of meat. What were these 4 times of the year? So the Gemara says in Chulin, it's Erev Pesach, first day Pesach, the Erev first day Pesach, Erev Shavuos, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Shmini Atzeres, the 8th day of Sukkot, and in Golil also Erev Yom Kippur. So, and over there we said that since this person has paid, as soon as he's paid for it with his money, it's as if a part of the cow already belongs to him just because he's paid for it. Once he's paid for it, if something then goes wrong with the cow, for whatever good or bad reason, then it's actually the buyer is going to lose his money because you've already paid. That's it, it's too late. However, if we would keep it with the halacha that the Chachomim said, that money does not buy things, as it normally doesn't, then if something goes wrong with the item, then the cash, the money, actually has to be returned to the buyer, because the money didn't enact a sale. So let's see this inside. Asoyer Abeleza, according to Abeleza, making here an Eruv, that we're talking about here, is similar to the 4 prokim b'shana, the 4 times of a year, where the Chachomim said money actually makes enact a kinyan. Datnan, we learnt in a Mishnah, in Chulin Daf Pei Gimel, b'dalet prokim elu, these 4 times of the year, mashchiten es hatabach, we force the butcher to shecht a cow, ba'al korchoi, even if he wouldn't do it otherwise, afilu shoyer, even an ox, shove 1,000 dinar, that's worth 1,000 dinrim, ve'enu lekeach elo dinar echod, and the buyer only has a single dinar, koifin oisei lishchoit, he has to shecht and make the meat available for the buyer. Lefikach im mace the lekech. Since the Chachomim are forcing the tabuch, and what they've done is they've said that the money that you've paid for it is actually considered, the kinyan has been made, you've acquired that part of the cow, that part of the shoyer that you're going to receive with the money, and if something happens, if the cow dies, if the ox dies, then meisle lekeach, the lekeach loses his money, the seller does not need to refund the money to the buyer. Meisle lekeach, asks the Gemara, how can it be meisle lekeach? How can you say, just because you force the butcher to sell the cow, why should it be that the person who paid for it should lose his money in the event that the shoyer dies? He only paid money. Money doesn't make a kinyan. Holoi Moshach, he didn't actually do a Mashicha on the cow. If he took the cow to him and had in mind to actually acquire that part of the cow that he's going to buy with this Mashicha, then of course it's a kinyan, and of course, if anything, if the cow dies, it's the loss of the buyer. But v'hei, he only paid. He didn't do Mashicha. Omer Rav Huna. But Shemoshach, so Rav Huna says, the Mishnah is actually talking about, not that he just paid, it's actually talking about that he did a Mashicha, he drew the cow towards him, and that way he did a valid kinyan. Yehoch asks the Gemara Eim Masefa, how are you going to explain the end of the Mishnah? B'shar Yemois HaShana Eino Kein, all other days of the year, in such a scenario, it's not the case. And if the animal dies, the liability, the chayv, is going to be on the seller, and he has to refund the money to the buyer. If the buyer did a kinyan already, why should he have to refund the money? Lefikochim meis lemoicher. The rest of the year, if the animal dies, it's the moicher who's bearing responsibility, and he has to refund the money. Why should that be? Am I homoshach? If we're talking about that he did a mashicha, then the kinyan is valid. The money he paid for it was in order to have the rights to do this kinyan, to be moishach, to draw the cow to him and acquire a part in the cow. Why should the seller have to refund the money? Omer Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, lo'olam b'shalei moshach. It must be the Mishnah is talking about that he did not do a mashicha, and that's why the whole year round the kinyan has not been done. And if the cow dies, it's the loss of the seller, and he has to refund the money to the buyer. Hocha b'mayaskinon over here, on these four times of the year, is talking about b'shezike loy al yedei achir. And the truth is not only these four times of the year. The Mishnah is talking about where the payment, the money, as we said, doesn't make a kinyan. But what did he do? He asked somebody else to acquire, to do a kinyan on behalf of this person who'd paid the money. He did, and somebody else is doing a kinyan, a proper kinyan, on his behalf. But however, since it's only on his behalf, and he didn't tell you to do that kinyan for him, he may have paid money, but he didn't actually tell you to make that kinyan for him, then it's a zochin. And zochin is only when it's a zchus, not when it's a chayv. So bedalat prokim elu, these four times, these four days in the year, the zchus hulai, where it's definitely a credit for him, it's definitely a privilege for him to have this meat. He wants this meat because it's Erev Yontov. Everybody's buying meat. Everyone needs meat. So he's happy that somebody should do a kinyan for him. Zochin lo shalei b'fonov. And therefore, if somebody else does the kinyan on his behalf, even though he didn't give explicit consent, it's the kinyan is valid. And therefore, if the animal dies, it's the loss of the buyer. B'shari mois hashana, however, the rest of the year, t'choiv huloi, where just doing a kinyan on his behalf may be a choiv for him, because if the animal's going to die, maybe he doesn't want the meat, maybe it's just an added expense, and if the animal dies, he's going to end up losing his money. It's a choiv. Ein choivin loi elo b'fonov. You can only do something that could possibly be a liability for him with consent. And over here, he didn't tell you to do the zchia, and that's why the rest of the year, the sale is not valid, and if the animal dies, it's the loss of the seller, not of the buyer. Rav Ila Omer Beichanon. This is a third explanation to explain the Mishnah, and this is where we come in on this. But Dalet Prokim Eilu He'emidu Chachomim Divreim al Divrei Torah. That he paid with money. That means the kinyan was not that he did a Mashicha, and not that somebody else did the Zechia for him. No, he paid with money. He took his dinner, this coin, and gave it to the Balabais. The Omer, and then what do we say? Then we say, the Omer Beichanon, Dvar Teira Mois Koinus, Mina Teira, money makes a proper kinyan. Umipnei Ma Omru. Sorry, I missed the line. Rav Ila Omer Beichanon, Badalet Prokim Elu, Hemidu Chachomim Divreim Al Divrei Teira. These 4 days of the year, the Chachomim said, since we want everybody to have meat for Yom Tov, therefore we want people to be able to acquire the meat, even if it's just with money. The rest of the year, no. The rest of the year, we do not allow money to be a valid kinyan. Why? To Omer Beichanon, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Dvar Torah mois koines min haTorah money always enacts a valid kinyan." Umipnei ma omru, why did the Chachomim take that away and say Mashicha koina? In order to have a valid kinyan, you have to do Mashicha. You have to draw the item to you. It's not enough just to pay with cash. Gazeir Hashem ayomru loy nisrufu chitecho baliyah. We're afraid that if somebody is going to pay cash, and now the money is in the hands of the seller, the item is also in the rishus of the seller. So in the event that a person is buying produce, wheat, for example, he's paid with cash. So if minatera mois koinois. So now the money is in the hands of the seller. The wheat, which is in the attic of the seller's house, the wheat belongs to the buyer. There's going to be chas v'shalom, a fire in the attic of the seller's home. He's going to say, it's not my wheat, it belongs to him. I'm not bothering to extinguish the fire and save the wheat. It's his problem. It's his loss. We don't want that to happen. And therefore, we say no. Even though he's paid money, money's not a valid kinyan. All the while that the item is still in the rishus of the seller, it's your responsibility of the seller. And if you don't take responsibility and it gets burnt, you're the one that's going to lose. You're going to have to refund the money. And that's going to encourage him to invest his most to save the wheat. Now, even though in this case with a cow, there's no such risk because 999 parts of this cow still belongs to the seller because the buyer is only buying one dinner's worth of the 1,000. However, this is what the Chachomim said, that mois are never koina, except for these 4 days where the Chachomim said we want people to be able to buy their meat with the money. And we're going to learn more about this in Mitzvah. And Chulin will see more the details of this. And so coming back to our Gemara, Rabbi Lezer, we hear, because of Kovod Shabbos, we wanted people to be able to join the Eruv. So according to Rabbi Lezer, the Chachomim actually allowed people to pay with cash and the Kinyan was valid. If the Kinyan is valid, then his Eruv is a good Eruv. Continues the Gemara, Umoydim b'shar kol odom, we saw in the Mishnah that if a person gives a coin to anybody who's not a grocer and a butcher, not somebody who's regularly selling wares or food items, and he says, here's the coin, make sure that I'm part of the Eruv, in that case, everybody agrees that he will be part of the Eruv, because we assume that what he means is that I'm making you an agent to do whatever it takes to make me part of the Eruv. And if it's not by actually buying something with the coins, it's just doing a zechia for me when you are zoicha in the wine or the other food items, it will be valid. Says the Gemara, Man Shar Kol Odom. Who is this Shar Kol Odom? Who are all these other people who are not grocers or bakers? Omarav Balabais. Any Balabais who is not a grocer or baker, they do not sell wares typically, they do not sell food, and therefore, as we said, giving money to the Balabais is actually a statement of, I'm making you an agent to do what it takes. However, regarding a grocer and a baker, giving money is intended to enact a sale, and since a sale cannot be done by just paying money, therefore he has not acquired a part in the wine or the bread with the coin, and all the coin is doing is being used, so to speak. The baker or the grocer is making himself into an agent. Post having received this coin, they're making themselves into an agent to arrange for him to be part of the Eruv. Nobody gave them permission to do that, and therefore, according to the Chachomim, lo yizochu lo ma'osav, and he's not part of the Eruv. Omarav, Balabais. Only a baker, we assume that if you give money to the baker, you actually want to buy bread with the money, not use the coin to make the baker into an agent to do what it takes, that he should be part of the Eruv. If the Balabais is given this coin, and then the Balabais arranges for somebody to do zechi on his behalf, then koina, he's become part of the Eruv, and he can carry there, and the Eruv is valid. All this is true only when we're talking about money. Aval kli, if you're trying to acquire some food item using a utensil, koina, then there's a concept called kinyan chalipin, we're going to learn about later on in Shas, where if you give somebody a utensil, and with the intentions of in turn receiving for this utensil to receive a share in the bread or the wine or whatever else, then it's a valid kinyan. V'omar Shmuel. Shmuel also said, Lo yishanu elo da'omar lo yizacheli. This, the Chachomim in the Mishnah, is only talking about when a person went into the grocer or the butcher and said, Zacheli, which means, hey, I want to use this money, and with the money, I'm acquiring part of the bread or the wine, and that doesn't work. Aval omar arevli, but if he goes into the butcher or the baker and he says, here's a coin, make me part of the eruv, that's something else. Then shliach shavya. Then I'm making the butcher or the baker or the grocer, I'm making them into an agent to make me part of the eruv, and then koni v'koni, and then if they make sure that one of the other neighbors is koina, is zoicha on his behalf in the food item, he's koina and the eruv is valid. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, b'med dvorim amurim v'chulu. We saw in the Tanakama that you can only do an eruv ein ma'arvin la'odom elo midaitoi. And as we saw there, according to the Chachomim, since the coin itself did not enact a valid kinyan, and you're using the coin and then making yourself into an agent that somebody else should do zechiah, that's called using a coin to help that person join the Eruv, shaloi midaite, without his consent, and therefore it's not valid. That's what we thought. That was what the Chachomim said. Rabbi Yehuda said that when do you need to have a daitoi, it's only by Eruv Tchumin, not by Eruv Echatzeris. Omer Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, Halacha Krib Yehuda. Shmuel said, the Halacha is like Krib Yehuda. And we'll soon see what that means. What Shmuel was actually saying is, there's a machloikas between the Chachomim and Reb Yehuda, and I'm telling you that Halacha is like Reb Yehuda, not like the Chachomim. We'll soon see who argues with Reb Yehuda. Does anyone argue with Reb Yehuda? We've seen this in the Gemara before. We're going to see it again now. Not only that, said Shmuel, Elo kol mokim sheshono Reb Yehuda be'eruvin. Anytime you find a Mishnah quoting Reb Yehuda in the halachas of Eruvin, halacha k'moisi, the halacha follows Reb Yehuda. Omar le Rav Chana Bagdad, Rav Chana from Baghdad, in a place in Bavel, said to Reb Yehuda, Omar Shmuel afilu b'movi shenitlu karoisov ilechoyov? Is this true also regarding if in the middle of Shabbos the koira that was going above the entrance of the Movui, or the post on the side of the entrance of the Movui, and there also we have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said that if they came down in the middle of Shabbos, since one was allowed to carry in the Eruv at the beginning of Shabbos, you can continue carrying in the Eruv. That's a kula, a leniency of Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Chana Bagdata asked Rav Yehuda that you said in the name of Shmuel that wherever you have Rav Yehuda in Eruvin, the Aloch is like him. You're saying me in that case as well, the Aloch is like him? Omar Le said no. But Eruvin Omarati, when I said Eruvin, I didn't mean every Mishnah in the whole Maseches Eruvin, anything to do with Eruvin. No, I meant regarding Eruvin as in acquiring a kinyan in the Eruv. Eruv Tchumin. Eruv Chatzeris, Shtufei Muvois, when regarding the Eruv, the blending, the connecting of neighbors and people, in those halachas, the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. V'loi b'mechitzois. But when I was talking about whether a rishus, an entity, has sufficient walls and how the walls are marked, whether you have a lechi or a koira, etc., that's to do with mechitzois, to do with the walls. And that, I didn't say this rule. Continues the Gemara. Omele Rav Acha b'rei d'rova l'Rav Ashi. Halacha, we noticed that when Shmuel said the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Halacha michlal de pligi. It's clear that somebody must be arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, or it wouldn't be necessary to say halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Asks the Gemara of Omer Bishua ben Levi. This Shmuel that says that there's a machloikas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda seems to arguing with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Because Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, Kol mokim sha'omer Rabbi Yehuda eimosai. Whenever Rabbi Yehuda in a Mishnah says, after mentioning a chachomim, he says, eimosai, when are the chachomim talking about? And then explains when. Ubameh, or it doesn't say eimosai, rather it uses a term as in our Mishnah. Bameh devorim amurim, in what case are we talking about? B'mishnah seinu, anywhere in the Mishnah, einu elu lefarish divrei chachomim. He's not coming to argue with the chachomim, he's coming to explain the chachomim. Since in our Mishnah it says, Bameh devorim amurim, according to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yehuda is clearly not arguing with the Tanakama. V'loi pligi, he's only explaining and not arguing with the Tanakama. And the real answer to this question is going to be the last word of the Omud, that don't ask a contradiction between Shmuel and Rabbi Shua ben Levi. According to Shmuel, obviously, there is a machlokes because he says halachic Rabbi Yehuda, and according to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, there's obviously no machlokes. However, the Gemara is now slightly digressing for a moment to say, can we even entertain the idea that they're not arguing? Rabbi Shua ben Levi says that since it uses the term Bamed Dvarim Amurim, it must be they're not arguing. Can that possibly be? And this is something we already saw before in the Gemara on Daf Pei. V'anantnan, in the previous Mishnah we learnt, nitois v'alem, that if new residents joined the chotzer, the Eruv, the Mavui, on Shabbos, moisif, you have to add on food in the Eruv, umezake, and in the event that it's you're using your own food on their behalf, you need to do zechia, as we learned previously, and in the event they're using their food, v'tzorich lo idea, you have to let them know. So you see, and here Rabbi Yehuda says, that in Eruv v'chatzeris, Rabbi Yehuda says clearly that Beiruv v'chatzeris, ma'arvin ledaitoi v'shalei ledaitoi, even if he doesn't explicitly consent, we don't need his permission because it's a schus for him. And we saw explicitly in the Mishnah before that you have to be moidia them. So how can you possibly entertain the idea that there's nobody arguing with Rabbi Yehuda? The Chachomim, not in this Mishnah, in the previous Mishnah, are clearly arguing with Rabbi Yehuda. So says the Gemara, no. Hasam b'chotzer shebein shtei muvois. When we saw before that it says that if you have new residents joining a chotzer, and in over there you need to let them know, even though it's eruv chatzeris, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, eruv chatzeris is zochin la'odom, and you do not need his consent. We assume that he's going to consent. There is a case of a chotzer where it may be a choiv for him, and that's when a chotzer has an entrance to two mavois. And if you join him into one mavoi, he cannot then carry in the other mavoi. So in the same way as eruv tchumen, making a tchum on one side is restricting him on the other side, and therefore it's a choiv, and even Rabbi Yehuda says that you need his consent. In the case where you have chatzeros, where normally Eruv chatzeros is not restricting him, making an Eruv is never a restriction. However, if you have a chotzer between two mavois, joining one mavoi is restricting him to the other mavoi. In that case, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, you have to let them know, and that's what that previous mission is talking about. And then, again, it's not arguing with Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara of Omer of Shizbi Omer of Chizda, Zoy Soymeres Chalukin Olov Chaverov al Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Chizda said explicitly that Rabbi Yehuda in this Mishnah here, at the top of Pei Aleph Amud Beis, is arguing with that Mishnah that we saw on Daf Pei Amud Beis. So it's clearly there is a machlokes, and then what's going on here? There is a machlokes, and that means, at least according to Rav Chizda, that previous Mishnah must be talking about a case where there's just one chotzer and one mavui. And even in that case, you need to have his consent, not like Rabbi Yehuda says here. So Rav Chizda is clearly understanding that there's a machlokes here. That means that the previous Mishnah and this Mishnah is arguing. But either way, now we're going back to that question that we said, you, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, assume that Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing with the Tanakama, and if so, you have to learn the previous Mishnah as being where it's a choiv, not a schus, and there's one chotzer between two mavuis. And that's arguing with Shmuel, where Shmuel says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that must mean that the Chachamim are arguing with Rabbi Yehuda. And if they're arguing with him, they obviously have to learn the previous Mishnah, like Rav Chizda learnt, that is talking about that it's one chotzer and one mavui. So how can you have what's going on here? Rav Shua ben Levi is arguing with Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Elo Gavra Agavra Koramisa. Why are you asking a question, Shmuel, from Rav Shua ben Levi? Marasov Ar Pligi. According to Shmuel, he holds that Rabbi Yehuda argues with the Chachamim. Marasov Ar Pligi. Rav Shua ben Levi will say that the Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing with the Chachamim. And obviously the difference will be how we learn the previous Mishnah. But it's not a question, how can Rabbi Shua ben Levi argue with Shmuel? Continues the Gemara Gufa. Omer Rabbi Shua ben Levi, we just saw that Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, Kol mokim sh'omer Rabbi Yehuda, Eimosai ubameh, b'mishnah seinu. Whenever you have a Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda expresses himself by saying, Eimosai, when does a halacha that the Chachomim said apply? Or b'meh dvorim amurim, in what case does it apply? Which Eimosai and Bamed Dvorim Amurim are similar terms. Whenever he says that, Einu Elu Lefarish Divrei Chachomim. That's when Rabbi Yehuda says that, he doesn't mean to argue with the Chachomim, he just means to explain the Chachomim. Rabbi Yechonon argues with Rabbi Shua ben Levi and says, Eimosai, when Rabbi Yehuda uses the term Eimosai, when, then indeed Lefarish is coming to explain the Chachomim not to argue. Ubameh, however, when it says Bameh Dvorim Amurim, like in our Mishnah here, Lachlok, in that case he is being Chaylok, and that's how we saw that, that's how Shmuel and Rav Chisda, they all learnt that there's a Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim. Ask the Gemara, V'eimosai, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said that when it says Amosai, and Rabbi Yochanan didn't argue on this point, that they both agree that when it says, when Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says Amosai, when does a specific halacha apply? It means that they are explaining the Chachomim, not arguing with the Chachomim. The Amosai lefarishu, v'atnan, this seems to contradict a Mishnah. And without going into all the details, this is a Mishnah we're going to learn about at length in Sanhedrin, Emir Tzashem. But there's a halacha of which people are kosher to give witness in Beis Din. And there are many people who min haTorah they can be Edim, but midrabbanon they said that not. And one of the cases is, and let's see the Mishnah, ve'eluhein apsulim, the following apostle to give Eidos in Beis Din. Hamasachei b'kuvya, somebody who's playing with a dice, v'amalve b'ribis, or somebody who lends money and takes interest, umafriche yoinim, or somebody who flies, he races doves, which is a type of gambling, v'soichre shvias, some people that sell shvias foods, the foods that have kedushas shvias, the seventh year in the Shemitah cycle, you're not allowed to sell them, and somebody does sell them. The Chachomim and the Mishnah say all these are posel for Eidos. And at least part of them, the reason is because Rashi says that they're all considered on some level, they are considered gazlonim, at least midrabonon. They're considered somewhat as thieves. And I don't think here's the place to go into it in detail, but at least in some of the cases, when it comes to the gambling, then how does gambling work? Where everybody puts money down into the pool, into the middle, and then they say, whichever dove arrives first, or whichever, you know, we're going to throw a dice, whatever number comes out, however it works, and whoever's going to get X number or whoever's dove arrives first is going to take all the money. Which means that if Reuven's dove arrives first, he's going to take all his money and Shimon's money and Levi's money. When Shimon put the money down, did he actually intend to give up that money and with a full heart relinquish his ownership on the money to whoever's going to win? Or does he say, no, really it's my money and I don't want anyone else to take it, and I'm not consenting so much. I'm putting the money down because I assume I'm going to win, and then I'm not going to lose my money. And that's called asmachta. And the question is, asmachta kanya or loy kanya? Do we say that asmachta, since it's just he's hoping, or he's guessing, or he's hoping to win, do we say that somebody who puts money down on those terms, that the pool actually was koina, and whoever receives the money is not called a gazlan, a thief, a robber? Or are we saying, no, loy kanya, and then whoever takes the money is actually called a gazlan, at least midrabonon. So the Chachomim said that all these are considered gazlonim. Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Amosai, and here's the word, the big word we want, Amosai, when is it true? Bizman she'ein loy umnus, Elohi. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that the reason that the apostle Eidos is not because they're gazlonim. He holds asmachta kanya, and as far as the monetary part of it is concerned, the money is, whoever wins, the money is rightfully his. However, since they're engaging in just idle nonsense, and they're not busy with yeshuvei shel olam, having normal businesses, making money and panos in a normal, acceptable fashion, therefore, we assume that they, since they never worked hard for their money, they couldn't care about money, and therefore they'll have no care for other people's money, and therefore they cannot give Eidos in Beis Din. So Rabbi Yehuda says, but Amosai, when is that true? Bizman she'ein le'umnus. That's only if he doesn't have another job. Elohi, the only way he's making money is with this gambling here. Then we say that he's not putting any effort into making money, he doesn't understand the value of money and toiling for money, and therefore he's at risk of giving Eidos in Beis Din to take money away from somebody where rightfully that should not happen. Aval yesh le'umnus she'lohi, but if he's got another business and then he's well aware of what it means to make money, then he'll be okay in Beis Din. Harei ze kosher. He's allowed to give Eidos in Beis Din. So you see clearly, you've got a Chachomim who say it's possible, And when we explained it first, as Rashi does, it's because Asmachta Loikanya. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, Eimosai, when is it true? Only if he doesn't have another business. So Rabbi Yehuda clearly says, Asmachta Kanya. According to what we saw before, it was Shua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, Eimosai means that there's no Machlokes Chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda, and it must be even according to the Chachomim, Asmachta Kanya. And the reason is Pastel Eidos is because he's not Oisek B'Yeshuvah Yishel Oilam, as we saw, and therefore if he also has another business, he's kosher for Eidos. And so according to the rules that we saw, the Chachomim are not arguing with the Yehuda. The Tanya lo b'Braisa. However, that's all fine and good until you read the Braisa. What does it say in the Braisa? The Chachomim Oimrim, the Chachomim argue with Rabbi Yehuda. And they say, Bein she'ein le'umnus Elohi, irrespective of if he doesn't have any other business besides for his gambling, Bein she'yesh le'umnus Shelohi, even if he does have a business which is not the gambling, Harei's apostle. He's parcel, and they obviously hold Asmachta Loikanyo. And the person who puts the money into the middle does not do it with a good heart. The person who's receiving the money is taking money that's not rightfully his, at least on a Rabbonim level. So you see clearly that the Chachomim are arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, even though Rabbi Yehuda used the term Eimosai. Answers the Gemara no. There's two different Chachomim here. There's the Chachomim in the Mishnah, and there's the Chachomim in the Braisa. The Chachomim in the Mishnah, like Rabbi Yehuda, they hold Asmachta Kanya. And the reason that the Apostle Eidos is because they're not Oisuk B'Yeshuvah Yishel Oilam. The Chachomim and the Braisa, they hold Asmachta Loikanya. They hold that when a person puts money in, knowing and hoping and assuming that he's going to win, is actually not putting the money in with a good heart, and therefore the person receiving it is a gazlan, and therefore, even if he has another business, it doesn't help. Anyone who's engaging in this gambling is Postle Eidos. Where do we find that there's another Chachomim, another opinion that says Asmachta Loikanya? Says Ahud Reb Yehuda Amar Reb Tarfon. Those Chachomim in the Braisa are actually Reb Tarfon. Amar Reb Tarfon he. The Tani we learned in the Braisa. Omer Reb Yehuda Mishum Reb Tarfon. Lo'oilom ein echod mehem nozir. What happens if somebody's walking down the road and Reuven and Shimon are watching him? Reuven says, if that person walking down the road is a Nozir, I'm a Nozir. Shimon said, if that person is not a Nozir, I'm a Nozir. And neither Reuven nor Shimon know whether this person is a Nozir or not. Are any of them a Nozir? So says Rav Tarfon, La'olam ein echod mehem Nozir. Neither Reuven nor Shimon is a Nozir. Why? Lefi she'ein Nozirus, Nozirus can only happen, elo lehaflo, only if he makes an unmistakable declaration, an absolute declaration, I am a Nozir. If somebody says, I am a Nozir, then he's a Nozir. But if he says, I'm a Nozir, if he's a Nozir, and this person doesn't know if he's a Nozir, that's not called an absolute declaration, and the Nazirus, he's not a Nozir. Alma, what do we see from Reb Tarfon? Given the Masabkalei I Nozir Iloi, since it's a doubt whether this person was a Nozir or not, Iloi Nozir Hu, Loi Meshabit Nafshei, not Reuven and not Shimon actually intends to actually commit themselves to what they said, which was to be a Nozir. Hochanami, so too in our case here, in the same as over there, Reb Tarfon says that a person doesn't commit himself to something unless he's absolutely clear with what he's doing. Hochanami here too, kiven de lo yoda ikoni iloikoni, since this person who's engaging his gambling doesn't know if he's going to win or not going to win, lo yigomar umakni, does not intend to actually commit himself with the money, he doesn't put the money in with a good heart, and therefore asmachta loikanya, and therefore anyone engaging in this gambling is a ganov, is a gazlan, even if he has another business. Hadron alo chaloin, imir tashem uldu chazor on perik chaloin, and in the next share, we're going to continue the next perek.